In a time where parents have the weight of 1,000 decisions on their shoulders and every step is like walking in quicksand, adventure's probably not in your focus. However, research shows families who adventure are more resilient and have significantly healthier minds and bodies. The purpose of this podcast is to help families connect through simple and authentic adventure experiences. Welcome to Ordinary Sherpa, your online community designed to help you connect, reach your summit, and create meaningful adventure experiences with your family. Hello, and welcome to Ordinary Sherpa. I am your host, Heidi Dusick. I'm so glad you're here with us today. We're going to dive deep into one family's journey to really enjoy life on the road, and I'm so excited that you're here with me. Before I get there, I want to welcome everyone to Ordinary Sherpa. We've seen a large influx of new listeners over the past week. Thanks to Choose FI. I just want to give my hats off and gratitude to them. And if you don't know, I'm going to be putting a link to Choose FI in the show notes. They're amazing. If you're joining us from that community, welcome. You're among friends. You are now a fellow Sherpa. Ordinary Sherpa is designed to help families connect through simple and authentic adventure experiences. You can learn more about my adventure story in episode 1 or understand why we chose adventure as our platform in episode 2. But the short version is this. I really think the only way we survived as a family of 5 in 2020 was because of adventure. It was almost a surreal experience. I dove deep into the research, which validated what I have felt for so long. So much of this mission is really to help others on this journey, to connect through adventure, but also find a life of freedom, connection, adventure, fresh air, all of these things that we just need and want out of life. Adventure offers that to you. And in creating the podcast, we also were creating a community who we call Sherpas. The Sherpas are the people who help other families reach their summits. There's no expectation or benchmark of what adventure has to be. There's no such thing as a stupid question. We have people that are at various points in the adventure journey. So come on over. In the show notes, I list where you can find us on various platforms. If you're looking for interaction, I would recommend the Facebook group. That's where you're going to get to interact with many of the other Sherpas in our community. If you're looking to dive deeper or get more inspiration, that's where I would suggest Instagram or email are probably the best platform. And all of those links are in our show notes. While 2020 restricted our travel, Ordinary Sherpa has been getting around. Ordinary Sherpa today has been listened to in 26 countries and 44 states. And I kind of set out, I didn't announce this anywhere, but I had a goal to hit all 50 states in the first 90 days. On February 11th will be my 90-day anniversary, and I am at 44 states. So if you know of anyone who you think would enjoy listening to this podcast, and they maybe happen to be in Alaska, Montana, Wyoming, Maine, Vermont, or Mississippi, please hit the share button. It's a very easy way to help Ordinary Sherpa reach its goal to hit all 50 states in 90 days. Wouldn't that have been awesome if we could actually travel 90 days? Oh, I don't know if that would actually be awesome. I just have visions of traveling all 50 states. That would be fun. I'm in my 40s and I haven't hit all quite 50 states. So it's a fun to see that my podcast could potentially get there. Our guests today are super authentic, and I am so glad they were willing to come on the show. Brittany and Cody Holifield are the parents of 2 boys, Barrett and Corbin, and a dog, Sonic, and they have been the family behind Hitch to Hitch. They were looking for a change, as you will hear, but it didn't exactly follow a conventional path. They gave up their 10-acre farm and the ideal American lifestyle to enjoy a life of adventure while living full-time in their fifth wheel. They sold everything 2 years ago and haven't looked back. I have binged on their YouTube channel and Instagram feeds over the last year and have really appreciated all of the different insights that they share along their journey. Even if full-time RV lifestyle is not for you, they are such authentic people who share so many insights and so generous with their ideas. I hope you're able to hear their mindset, how they allow adventure to show up in their life on a regular basis. So Cody and Brittany, let's just go there. Have you always been an adventurous family? I'm curious about the backstory a little bit. You've been on the road now for 2 years. How did you get to this place to decide we're just going to sell everything and live on the road?
I would have to say yes, because it was our family was thrown together. So when we met, I had a son from a previous relationship, and Cody had just found out that he had a son from a previous relationship. We start dating, and he's going through steersman school. So he's gone for like a month, home for a week, and just this crazy, I guess, adventure. So for us, it was always like that, because our time together was so short that we made the best of it. And so he had jet skis, and so we'd just pick up and go to Florida and go play on the jet skis. And so, yeah, because we try to make up most of our time together.
Yeah.
And we didn't do anything slow or the right order or anything like that. So doing things that are kind of different and weird are kind of our thing.
And what led you then into full-time RVing? Why was that the path that you chose?
Well, to start with,
it's definitely a journey.
Yeah, we have to kind of go back a little far for that one. I'll give you the shorter version of the beginning part. Brittany was always a city girl, and I grew up more so in the country than I did in the city, and I had a little bit of both worlds. After we got married, we built a house in Madisonville, Louisiana, which is basically a subdivision where the houses are 10 feet apart. And we wanted a change, so we moved to Mississippi on to 10 acres and basically started a farm.
About 3 years of that, and yeah. I was pretty worn out from teaching full-time, taking care of the kids, taking care of the farm, all while he leaves for half a year.
Yeah, so we were looking for a change. With me coming home and working on the farm and then being at school, and then I get to see the kids only a couple hours at night and then the weekends, and that was about it. We were looking for something that was going to give us more time together. And I originally wanted to buy a big catamaran and kind of sail around the United States and do the Great Loop and things like that. And
I vetoed that decision after a run. I did give him a trial run. We went and did a charter for a week on one, and it was terrible. Yep. So I said no.
Yeah, we had Brittany had a migraine for almost 4 days. Barrett in the water and somehow landed on a jellyfish, and it wrapped around his armpit and over his shoulder and all on his back. Oh. And then Corbin was, I think, 4 at the time, had his life jacket on, and the life jacket hooked the table in the front porch of the boat, and it caused him to fall backwards. When he did, he hit the back of his head on the bulkhead door, and it split his head open on July 4th in Pensacola. So we had to use the dinghy to get to shore and go get his head glued back together.
Oh my. This was all in one adventure?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. All in 5 days.
But it's funny, because as you listen to the story, you'll notice that our story is like our life is always this big adventure. So after I said no to this, we booked a vacation to Branson, Missouri, and we were going to drive. And for us, it's like a 9-hour drive. Yeah. So we're doing this for Christmas. So on the drive back, I'm like, you know, this driving thing isn't so bad. I think I can do this. Maybe in an RV. Okay, so he goes back to work for January, calls me and goes, hey, there's an RV show in Tampa. Let's go look at RVs. Gets off the boat, buys a dually truck. We drive to Florida, buy a camper. Like, house set. We put the house on the market. It sells in 3 months. This isn't a speed of 6 months of me saying, okay, let's do the RV thing. There was no time to change my mind.
Wow. Holy cow, you guys move quick.
Yeah.
She said yes to the RV in December. It was like the week before Christmas. And we were at the Tampa RV show, which was the first week in February, yep. I believe, that year.
Yeah, bought the camper.
And that's when we actually pre-ordered the camper. We picked it up March 7th, and the house was on the market 26 days, and it sold. And we got almost what we were asking for it too, which was amazing.
Wow.
We moved into the RV and just kind of left from there.
Well, then I had to finish my year of teaching, because it happened way faster than we thought.
Yeah, but I mean, we went and did a few weekend trips and stuff in between and spring break and all of that, but she did finish out the year teaching. Yeah, it was really quick. I mean, it was 6 months. We said, let's do it, and we were gone.
That's amazing. For me, I'm like, I wish we could be gone in 6 months. I'm still thinking, I'm like, oh, we got like 4 years left.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't give you time to change your mind or really think about what's going on, because you're just like, okay, I'm in it for the ride. What else are you going to do?
We went from having, we had a 10-acre farm with a big 4-bedroom, 2-story house. We had upwards of 60 chickens. We had, I think, goats. 4 goats at one time. We had a couple horses.
Rabbits.
We raised rabbits. Yeah, we had a peacock that showed up for a couple weeks. Really enjoyed it, but it was more work than we could do ourselves and not be able to enjoy life. And we still tried to do vacations, but it was hard trying to find somebody to maintain everything while we were gone.
Yeah. So you transitioned out of teaching, Brittany, and then just moved into teaching the kids full time?
Yeah.
How old are the boys?
So when we started, Barrett was 12 and Corbin was 5 or 11 and 4.
How did they do with that transition? Just kind of curious. Was that something that was easy for them to transition to?
For Barrett, I think it was probably the biggest transition because he'd been in public school since pre-K. Not being around kids his age all day long is still a thing that he's dealing with and having a hard time now that we're doing it for 2 years, and then add COVID on top of it. But that's a whole nother question. But his transition of not being around other kids is tough because he's such a social person. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, you know, we keep reminding him on days like when we were in Bryce Canyon, we're like, you could be in the classroom right now or you could be here. Like, yeah, you're not around your friends, but you get to do this kind of stuff. So he sees both sides and he's really good about keeping his mind open. But for Corbin, he gets more time with mommy and daddy. So he's just happy as a lark, you know?
Yeah. Well, and he probably didn't have the flavor that Barrett did either of what the social scene looked like. And
no, but he just blossomed on the farm and he was a farm boy. And so he had a little bit of a hard time leaving his animals and his property and the freedom mm-hmm. that it was, because he could just go outside, put his boots on and explore. And he wasn't so used to me having to be right there and always watching him, like in campgrounds and stuff. So that's been a little transition for him.
So how do you then help fill their social when you are out on the road? What kind of things do you do to help? Do you have a core that you meet up with? Do you have other family that you're visiting? How does that work? Or what does that look like for the kids?
Yeah, that's actually something we're still trying to figure out. It's a little bit easier for the months that we are stationary and Cody is gone, because we try to pick a campground that's going to have amenities that are kid friendly, family friendly, in the hopes that kids will be there. And sometimes they are, mostly on weekends, which is good, so they can focus on their schoolwork during the week. On the months when Cody is home and we do more boondocking, it just doesn't happen that often because we're out in the wilderness. Yeah, it's something we're still trying to juggle and figure out, because it's not like we always have internet for him to Zoom or chat or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still figuring that part out. Yeah. It's still a little tough.
And being out west, it seems like that was a lot less kids around, just because everything's so spread out. And, you know, I mean, the families, they stayed in RV parks mostly. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're out boondocking, you're not going to see a whole lot of people all the time either.
Yeah, Cody, can you describe for listeners that might not be familiar with boondocking? What do you mean by boondocking? I know what it is, but I think...
You can either call it boondocking or dry camping. So basically what it is if you're bringing your rig out, you have no hookups whatsoever. So you have no water hookup, no power hookup. You're completely self-sufficient. With our particular situation, we have a generator on board with this rig, 5,500 watt Onan, that'll run just about everything on here. We found out we can actually run all 3 AC units as long as we don't use the microwave. So that's cool enough. And then we've upgraded a little bit from there, and I put some lithium batteries in here. We don't have solar yet, but most people that do boondocking or dry camping, they have solar panels and batteries, which run through an inverter, and it'll power the majority of your stuff in your camper. So, but there's a ton of information out there on that as well.
It was a concept that when I first started camping, I was like, what are people talking about? And then I got really excited about it. We did a little bit of boondocking this summer, and It was delightful.
Yeah, it's so fun. Peaceful, but it also challenges you to be aware of everything that you're using. So it's a challenge.
Yeah.
The power and water consumption is a big thing to pay attention to, and it makes it fun.
Yeah, we kind of joked that you could tell when it was time to shower because we had to go find hookups because we were so conservative about water while we're out in the woods and stuff. So it was kind of funny. We're like, okay, it's day 5, guys. We got to go shower. We got to go find hookups or go for a swim or something. We kind of joked about that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I've seen a lot of your Instagram feeds. It looks like 2020 has been a good year for you. Can you just kind of walk through what adventures you guys have undertaken this year?
Yeah, 2020 has been a great year for us. It started off really slow. We actually had the whole year planned and half of it booked when COVID hit. And so we had to basically cancel and scrub and start from scratch. And so about June, we decided, okay, we feel like it's safe for us to venture out and stay out in the wilderness and away from people, and it'd actually be better for us. So we went ahead and made a loop. We started here in Mississippi and went straight up to Omaha, Nebraska, so we could go hit the Henry Dorley Zoo. We wanted to go through South Dakota to hit the Badlands and Mount Rushmore. And our goal was to do as many national parks as we could in this loop out west, because with COVID hitting, we were nervous that what the future looked like. And we knew we wanted to hit everybody's major bucket list items. And so Barrett's bucket list was Yellowstone, and mine was Glacier. And Cody's, I think, was Grand Canyon, although we didn't actually get there. But
well, Grand Canyon,
the Tetons actually ended up being his favorite. So we hit Glacier, Arches, Yellowstone, Tetons, and Bryce Canyon, all, as many national parks as we could. And it was just, it was incredible.
There's a few other ones in there that we just didn't expect. But it was really, we made a heck of a trip just in the 6 months that we did. But we also, at the beginning of the year, we did all of Georgia, the coastline of Georgia. Wasn't that at the beginning of the year?
Georgia was last year, but that's okay because we love Georgia too. Yeah.
Well, we did coastline of Georgia and hit all the islands on the way down. It all blends together. It's fun.
Nice. I know, it gets to that point when you start hitting so many adventures. We did Jekyll Island a couple years ago, and we too were like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, we loved it.
Yeah, Driftwood Beach was by far one of our favorite places. We could have sat there all day long. It was so fun. I'm like, you guys, this wasn't actually a stop. It was just like meant to be a break. It wasn't meant to be like an all day thing.
Yep, really cool. Cumberland Island was the lower island, and it's one that you have to go to by ferry.
Yeah.
There's wild horses and everything. We got a good video on that because they had some horses run right between us. So that was really cool.
Do you find that your kids are drawn to different things? Like as you're planning the route, do the kids, you mentioned everyone had their own bucket list thing. So do the kids get involved in planning your routes and where you're going, or what does that look like?
No, I mean, I'm in charge of planning. Yeah, no. Once I let them know kind of the direction we're going in, they'll start looking at things, but ultimately I'm a big planner.
Mostly mom comes up with a list of, we'll say, around 20 things in a general area, and then we say, okay, what's our cost looking like, and then her and I will kind of whittle it down, and then we give them options as far as what we can go and do. So it's not necessarily just us picking it out and saying, hey, we're going here today. I guess you could say we have a budget, but we don't stick to it in a way.
So say like when we were up around Custer, South Dakota, we were there for like 5 days. So we woke up and we're like, okay, here's our 5 days. So today we could either waterfall hike, we could go to the animal drive through, we could hike to the top of the mountain. Which one would you like to do today? And we let them pick, and they never agree. So, you know, one has to pick this day and the other has to pick the next day.
Yeah, we do try to give ourselves a couple extra options in there because weather changing and if a place is closed or, you know, just the unexpected kind of things. So it works out really well when mom just adds a couple extra things in there as well. So
yeah, if I was to say the summit, like what was your peak experience? I suppose you guys probably all had a different one for 2020, but what were, Cody, what was yours? And Brittany, I'd love to hear yours too. What was your kind of peak experience in 2020?
Oh, it's really hard to choose on all the things that we did, but we did a hike up to Amphitheater Lake in the Tetons, and it's 5 miles in with 3,100 feet, I think it was, of elevation. And then it's 5 miles back out. And that's just to actually put your eyes on the lake up there. So we went around the lake, and then Corbin decided he wanted to touch the glacier. So we hiked up further up the mountain, and we ended up doing about 12 miles that day. But it was incredible views, and just, I'd say that's one of the most amazing.
It's the most amazing experience because when he mentioned it, I'm like, there is no way on earth that the kids can do a 12-mile hike. You are crazy. So the day before we did a 6 mile with them, and he's like, that was easy. Everybody's good. Like we can do this. We're going to do this. We're here. And I'm like, you're crazy, but I'll put on my shoes and we'll see how far we can get. And the kids just, they were incredible. There was very little complaining, mm-hmm. and everyone was ramping each other up to try to get up there. And the views, once you got up there, were so rewarding. And we were joking that after eating our lunch up there, we're like, how can we eat lunch anywhere else after this? Yeah. You know, you're sitting in glacial lake surrounded by the peaks of the mountain. It was just incredible.
Yep. So she's not going to question me again. Yeah, right.
Wow. Yeah, I can understand that, though, because we've done a couple of hikes. So we actually just got home from the Tetons a couple of days ago.
Oh,
and,
fine.
You know, even the we did, I think, the 3.2 snowshoe hike to Taggart Lake. And even that was like, It's so funny along the way how the psychology changes of the kids, too. You know, it seemed like that first mile for us is always the worst.
Yeah.
There's like the whining and the complaining. I'm like, how are we going to get past this mile? Because I know once we get past this, they'll be into it. But boy, it was, I can't tell you how many pictures I have of them laying in the snow or eating the snow or making snow angels. Like they're on the ground more than they're hiking.
I guess our tip is that we brought snacks. So we would say, okay, if we get another half a mile, you get another snack. And then in one more mile, you get another snack. And it worked.
Yeah, bribery is always a good tool to have in your toolbox.
Yes.
Definitely.
Anything not go according to plan? I always find that the low points are so you mentioned your boat experience. I mean, that might be one where it's like, okay, too much adventure, didn't really go according to plan. But curious, any other like kind of lessons learned on the road or things that you know, it just didn't go according to plan?
I would say the biggest one that sticks out for me, and I'm sure Cody will have more, is we went to go boondock and we got caught in like a freak snowstorm. It started to snow. We wake up, the batteries had died, so we have no way of getting heat, and it is in the 20s and we are freezing. Yep, that was the biggest one for me, because
wow,
from the south, I'm not used to the cold, and I remember my feet were so cold they were hurting. We had to go buy wool socks after that. So
we were in Flaming Gorge dry camping there on the lake. And it was a really awesome place, but they said, okay, you got a cold front coming through. And then it turned into, oh, you're going to get snow. And it literally went from 70, I think it was like 72 degrees that day. And it got down into the low 20s in a matter of like 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
It was just crazy weather. And we ended up with 4 inches of snow that night. And as a matter of fact, I had our Battle-Borne batteries in the camper, but I didn't have them hooked up yet. And the battery died on us in the middle of the night. So I had to go outside in my pajamas and 4 inches of snow and jump the battery off to get the generator started so we could have the heater kick on. I would say when we got to the Tetons, one thing was picking a spot to park there because we dry camped there as well. We managed to squeeze the camper in between some stuff that I probably shouldn't have done, but it worked out.
But we're pretty good at turning any mishaps like that into an adventure, and it just becomes a good story.
Yeah,
they definitely become things you remember, I think, more than all the, you know, if everything went according to plan, I don't know if we'd have as many memories.
That's true.
Well, I'll give you one that didn't go according to plan, and it turned out to be perfect, but we went to Gator Grounds in Louisiana. We expected to have some kids there and everything.
So it's a water park RV park.
Yeah, it's an RV park with a water park attached to it. And we show up on a Saturday. We get in late Saturday afternoon. We get parked in our spot and everything. And the lady tells us, okay, well, there's probably not going to be many people here during the week. So we were staying for a week. Well, Sunday afternoon rolls around and there's one other camper there. And then Monday morning rolls around and they leave. Well, we spent 4 days at this place with a water park with nobody else there. We were literally the only camper there for 4 days. So us and the kids had the water park to ourselves, which was pretty incredible.
Probably cost them more just to stay open. You guys had quite the place.
No, they were really great about it. They gave us the phone number and said, okay, when you want to go use it, we'll turn the water on. Let us mm-hmm. know when you're done, we'll turn it off. And so we worked really well. They were very accommodating.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just kind of curious, if I go back to picking your brain a little bit, Brittany, as you're looking forward into 2021, how do you go about just where do you decide where you're going to go? Any resources that you use to help you plan or even start making that first list?
Oh my gosh, it is such a long thing for me because I am such a planner, so I dive into everything. But I guess we pick our area first. Cody's kind of had to teach me to do this because I like to do it, you know, from the beginning and go forward. And he's like, the best way to do it is really to start at the end. And so I've been learning to do that and be a little bit more flexible. So going into 2021, we know our end game is that we want to be up in Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire for fall. What I need to do then is to get his schedule and see about how far we can get up and what we want to do. And then the main thing for us is to find out where we're going to be for our month-long stays, because I need to book those pretty well in advance, and finding places that are going to have the amenities for the kids in the right location that we want. So really when I'm planning, so let's say we're going to go to Maine, I start on Facebook and I put Maine into my search and I look at what everybody says about Maine and where they go and what campgrounds they recommend. And I write all those down. And then I go to like my RV Parky app and I look up those campgrounds and check the prices. And then I'm on Google Maps looking at aerial shots. And I use all kinds of resources, a lot of apps, the community of the Facebook groups. They give you lots of good information there.
I feel like I just found a friend.
Yes.
I am constantly bookmarking things, and, you know, like someone will post something on Instagram. I'm like, oh, save that for this spot, or go to Facebook and, you know, we're going to be in some random spot in Ohio. Anyone have any suggestions?
It's a great place to start because people love to volunteer information about where they stay and what's good about it and what's bad about it. And they have pictures. And so it's a great resource.
You know, if I had listeners who are just intrigued and they're just curious, how would they reach out to you, or how could they follow you? What are some ways that they could learn more about RV life and living life on the road?
Oh, well, they can follow us on our Facebook, follow us on our Instagram. Follow us on YouTube. I do have the videos into playlist. So I do have one playlist that is about basically like getting started with RVing, and it's how we got started, what are our favorite gadgets, and how we do things. So that is a good playlist of videos for people getting started and interested in that. Other than that, the playlists are by states. So if you know that you want to go to the state, we have videos on tips of places to go and things to do. Can always send us messages. We love answering questions. So even if they don't want to, you know, follow us, shoot us a message with questions, we are always open to that.
Awesome. Is there anything you wanted me to ask you that I didn't ask you, or anything you want to share with listeners that?
I know one thing people always ask is whenever you're planning, if you're looking for places to where you can dry camp or boondock and they're hard to find, one of the apps that we like to use is iOverlander, and it comes in very handy. And sometimes there's pictures and other times there's not. But if you go to that and you kind of look around the general area that you want to go, you can find spots and then click on them. And then it'll give you an option to go to your maps and you can look at the aerial shot of it. I find that is extremely helpful, and I can kind of judge by whether I can get our rig in there or not, because we have a 44-foot fifth wheel, so we don't always fit in places very easily. One thing I do have to remember that I'll point out to other people is that when you're looking at aerial shots, particular area, it's not always flat ground. Check the elevation charts as well, because there's a few places that I learned that the hard way. I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, we could get in there, no problem. And you get there and you're going up a 5% grade and it's like, oh, I didn't plan for this. You got to kind of keep that in mind too. You know, it's not always flat ground wherever you're going. That's one thing in particular that I definitely would pass on to somebody, is to use that app and definitely look at the aerial shots.
Awesome. Well, this has been fun. I'm super excited to start camping again.
You're ready to go tomorrow, huh?
Yeah. Well, this has been great. Thank you.
It was fun.
Yeah. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank
and
you.
Happy New Year. Y'all enjoy it.
All right. I always love hearing from people that have a different philosophy or a different lifestyle than ours. So I really appreciate Cody and Brittany from Hitch to Hitch sharing a little bit more about their story, but more on the backside of how do they do this? Not just like where are they going and what are they doing, but how are they getting there and what's helping them in that process? Here are the key takeaways from this episode. Number one, time together is short. Are you making the best of it? Number two, are you worried about doing things in the right order? There could be options for both. The path to independence could be 6 months or 5 years. Number three, is the ideal lifestyle wearing you out? What might the alternative be? Brittany shared that taking care of the kids, the house, the farm, teaching full-time was wearing her out, which eventually inspired this lifestyle. Number four, test the path. Cody initially wanted to sail around the United States, but after a rough 5-day experience, they realized that probably wasn't the right path for them. Number five, you don't have to have everything figured out. I'm in it for the ride mindset is an excellent way to approach life. Number six, transition for the kids continues to evolve from the social scene to freedom and independence. It's a journey, not a destination. Number seven, in order to support the kids on their social and independence journey, they try to choose locations that are family-friendly whenever possible. Number eight, boondocking or dry camping is camping without hookups. It requires awareness about how much power and water you are using at each stay. Number nine, if you're interested in their route or recommendations, they share a lot of their insights on YouTube and Instagram. Some of the locations of highlight this year was their summit experience at the Grand Tetons, as well as Cumberland Island and the Wild Horses. Number 10, start with the end in mind. Create the menu of options with enough flexibility to align with everybody's wishes and then have backup plans like poor weather or just rough days. Number 11, peak experiences and mishaps are just part of the journey. You can't plan for everything, so embrace the opportunity. Follow and connect with Hitch to Hitch. Feel free to message them. I'm including all of their links in the show notes, so their YouTube link, their Instagram link, and Facebook link, as well as their willingness to accept messages and answer any additional questions. This has been a fun experience for me, just interviewing Brittany and Cody, trying to learn a little bit more about the RV lifestyle and know if that's right for us. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. If you have found value from this show, please feel free to jump over to the Ordinary Sherpa Facebook group or join our email subscriber list. If you jump to our website, ordinarysherpa.com, on the very first page, you can subscribe to our Adventure to Go monthly newsletter. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. We'll be in touch. If you found value from today's show, here are three easy ways you can support us. Subscribe to Ordinary Sherpa Podcast on the platform you're listening to. It lets the providers know that you're getting value from the show and want to be around when we release additional content. If you feel compelled, leave us a review. Two, find your friends, family, and others you think would enjoy this show and share this episode. Three, and most importantly, join the community of families interested in creating authentic experiences through simple adventures by going to ordinarysherpa.com/community. We want to hear from you and create content that would benefit your family. Thanks for joining us on this journey as we help families connect through adventure.